When something goes wrong in the air, someone shows up to find out why, not to assign blame, not to build a legal case, to find out what actually happened so it doesn't happen again. They come with tape measures and cameras. They document wreckage positions, fuel states, weather data, controller communications, maintenance records going back years. They talk to survivors when there are survivors. They talk to witnesses, mechanics, dispatchers, air traffic controllers, anyone who might hold a piece of the puzzle. They reconstruct a chain of events from evidence scattered across a field or a runway or a mountainside. And then they write it all down and share it with the world. That's the National Transportation Safety Board. 5 members, appointed by the president, confirmed by the United States Senate, charged with one mission: find out why transportation accidents happen so they don't happen again. I'm Tower on ATIS Radio Hangar's Aviation News Program. And today I want to talk about what happens to that mission when the board starts running short on people. NTSB Vice Chairman Thomas Graham has announced he's retiring. His last day is October 2nd. When he walks out the door, the safety board will have 3 of its 5 seats occupied. 3 out of 5. The legal minimum for a functioning board. And there's no replacement in sight. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Let me give you some context on why this matters, because the mechanics of how the NTSB operates are worth understanding. And to do that, I want to go back a bit. Before the NTSB existed, accident investigation in aviation was handled by a collection of agencies with competing interests. The Civil Aeronautics Board had both regulatory authority and investigative authority over civilian aviation. The problem with that arrangement is obvious in retrospect. The agency that makes the rules isn't the best candidate to objectively review what happens when those rules fail. It's like asking a manufacturer to investigate its own product defect. Congress recognized this, and in 1967, when it created the Department of Transportation, it established the National Transportation Safety Board as a separate entity under that department's umbrella. Aviation investigations, railroad accidents, pipeline failures, highway crashes, marine incidents, all of it moved toward a more centralized and theoretically independent body. But even DOT independence has its own problems if your budget comes from the Secretary of Transportation, and the Secretary of Transportation oversees the Federal Aviation Administration, and the FAA is frequently the party being scrutinized in aviation accident investigations. The independence is compromised before you even start. So in 1975, Congress passed the Independent Safety Board Act. The NTSB was cut loose from the DOT entirely. It has its own budget line, its own appropriations, its own reporting structure directly to Congress. No other cabinet department sits between the NTSB and its mandate. That independence is the whole point. And it is genuinely difficult to maintain in Washington, where budget fights, political appointments, and Senate confirmation calendars don't arrange themselves around the ideal of objective safety oversight. The board has 5 seats. Chairman and vice chairman are the named leadership positions. The other 3 are board members. All 5 are nominated by the president, confirmed by the Senate, and just like federal judges and senior agency officials, getting a nominee through that process in any reasonable time frame is not guaranteed. The quorum requirement is 3. 3 members must be present to conduct formal hearings, to vote on probable cause determinations, to adopt accident investigation reports. 3 is the minimum. 3 is the legal floor. When you have 5 members and 3 is the floor, you have 2 members of margin. If someone is traveling, if someone has a conflict of interest and must recuse, if someone gets sick, the board can still function. 2 members of cushion is not generous, but it's something. When you have 3 members and 3 is the floor, your margin is 0. 1 absence, 1 recusal, 1 conflict of interest, and the board cannot hold a formal hearing, cannot adopt an accident report, cannot issue the probable cause findings that close an investigation and put the safety record into the public domain. That's where the NTSB will be on October 3rd if no new members are confirmed before Graham walks out the door. The nomination and Senate confirmation process is slow under any circumstances. Slower when the political calendar is compressed. Slower when nominees haven't been announced yet. Slower when the Senate's attention is pulled toward higher profile confirmations elsewhere. The NTSB has historically struggled with long vacancies for a straightforward reason. It isn't a high-profile enough agency to command political urgency. Vacancies at the FAA make aviation news. Vacancies at the EPA generate environmental coverage. Vacancies at FEMA make news when hurricane season starts. Vacancies at the NTSB mostly make the aviation trade press, which again is where we're having this conversation right now. Thomas Graham has served on the board since 2018, 8 years as vice chairman. He's been a central figure in investigations spanning aviation, highway, pipeline, and railroad accidents. His tenure covered some of the more consequential periods in transportation safety, including the COVID years when accident patterns shifted in unusual ways, and the recovery period since, when air travel volumes returned while workforce disruptions from the pandemic continued to ripple through the industry. Under Chairman Jennifer Homendy, the board has been particularly active in using its public voice. Homendy has been outspoken on pilot training requirements, cockpit automation risks, and the long-running frustration of issuing safety recommendations that go unimplemented. She's used the NTSB's Most Wanted Safety Improvements list as a tool for public accountability, naming the specific changes the board believes would have the biggest impact on preventing transportation deaths. For aviation, recent entries on that list have included requiring terrain awareness and warning systems in a broader category of aircraft, strengthening safety management systems at smaller operators, and improving occupant protection in general aviation. These aren't abstract proposals. They come from specific accidents where the NTSB determined that a particular technology or procedure, if it had been in place, would likely have changed the outcome. Maintaining that pressure, following up when recommendations sit ignored, testifying before Congress, keeping the public record current on whose recommendations have been answered and whose haven't, all of that requires a board that can function. And functioning means quorum. Here's something worth understanding about how NTSB investigations actually work. Because there's a common misconception. The board members are not the investigators. The investigators are career staff. Engineers, human factors specialists, meteorologists, air traffic control system experts who travel to the scene and do the technical work. They reconstruct flight paths, analyze flight data and cockpit voice recorders, examine structural failures, interview everyone who matters. That technical work does not stop because a board seat is empty. What board members do is different. They oversee the formal hearing process, which is a quasi-judicial proceeding where parties to the investigation, airlines, manufacturers, pilot unions, the FAA itself, can present testimony and evidence. They deliberate on the findings, and they vote on the final probable cause determination and the safety recommendations that accompany it. There's also what the NTSB calls the party system. When a major accident investigation opens, the NTSB designates certain organizations as parties to the investigation. The aircraft manufacturer, the airline, the pilots' union, the FAA, these parties get access to investigation materials and participate in the technical process under strict NTSB rules because they have expertise relevant to the investigation. They cannot use that access for litigation purposes. The NTSB's investigation and the legal proceedings that may follow are kept separate. That formal output, the adopted report, the official probable cause, the safety recommendations carrying the weight of a full board vote, that's what requires quorum. And as of October 2nd, quorum sits at exactly 3 with 0 margin. Now, let me talk about the FAA relationship, because it's central to understanding why board capacity matters. The FAA has the regulatory authority. The NTSB has the investigative authority. Those are different things. When the NTSB completes an investigation and issues a safety recommendation, the FAA is not legally required to implement it. The FAA can accept, reject, or partially accept a recommendation. The NTSB tracks the status of every recommendation it has ever issued and publicly evaluates the FAA's responses. This dynamic has generated friction for as long as both agencies have existed. The NTSB finds out what happened and says what should change. The FAA decides whether to change it. The NTSB's leverage is entirely public accountability, the Most Wanted list, testimony before Congress, the public record of unanswered recommendations. That leverage depends on an NTSB that can function at full institutional capacity. An NTSB operating at minimum quorum, with zero margin, has less bandwidth to maintain that pressure. Not zero capacity, but less. I want to step back and talk about what this agency means to you if you fly. There's a reasonable chance that somewhere in your training, an NTSB accident report changed what you were taught. The improvements in general aviation accident rates over the past several decades, and they are real, documented improvements, didn't happen because pilots spontaneously got better. They happened because the aviation community learned from accidents, and a significant share of that learning runs directly through NTSB investigations. Controlled flight into terrain. Loss of control in flight, VFR flight into instrument meteorological conditions, fuel exhaustion, wire strikes at low altitude. These are not just accident categories. They are the product of investigations that identified patterns, named contributing factors, and generated recommendations that eventually changed procedures, training standards, equipment requirements, and the way risk is taught to student pilots. When you do a thorough weather briefing before a cross-country, when you have a personal fuel minimum you won't file below, when you brief an emergency procedure before a flight into unfamiliar terrain, part of the foundation beneath those habits is NTSB work. The Safety Board is one of the institutions that stands between the aviation community and repeating its worst history. That's not an exaggeration. That's what the agency does, and it does that job best when it has the staffing and institutional capacity to do it properly. Thomas Graham has spent 8 years contributing to that work. His retirement is earned. The question now is whether a replacement can be nominated and confirmed quickly enough to keep the board above the zero margin line before October 2nd. As of now, there's been no public announcement of a nominee. The confirmation process, even under favorable conditions, takes months. The window is roughly 5 weeks. The math is not encouraging. What this doesn't mean, investigations stop. The career staff at the NTSB continue their work. Accidents that happen after October 2nd will still be investigated. The technical work continues regardless, but the formal output, the adopted reports, the official probable cause determinations, the safety recommendations that carry the weight of a board vote, that process operates with no buffer. If anything disrupts quorum, it stalls. The aviation community has a stake in getting this right. The organizations that engage with NTSB recommendations, pilot associations, airlines, manufacturers, should be paying attention. If there's a moment to apply pressure on the Senate to prioritize a confirmation, this is it. Here's what you need to know at the bottom line. The NTSB is functional today, and it will be functional on October 2nd. 3 members is a legal board, but the margin disappears the moment Graham walks out the door, and restoring that margin depends on a process that doesn't move quickly. AVWeb broke this story, and their reporting is the right place to track it as the October 2nd date approaches. You'll find more coverage at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. This is ATIS. Stay ahead of the weather out there.